Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
For many families, the school summer holidays offer freedom and fun and a break from the usual routines and timetables. But for some families with children with complex needs, they say they dread July because they face 2 months of isolation and exclusion from their regular school supports. They say that while there is a summer education scheme in place for vulnerable pupils, their children with the most complex needs are being left behind. Last year's figures show that only 30% of special schools provided a summer provision programme. Well, Evelyn O'Rourke has been finding out more and she's here now. Good morning, Evelyn. Nice to have you with us. Tell us more about this summer education programme.
Yeah, well, the summer programme is based on a former scheme that people might be familiar with called the July provision delivered by the Department of Education. And the programme really is delivered in two ways. You have the school-based July provision, which runs for 4 weeks in your school. And if that's not available, you can apply for home-based provision, which involves a tutor coming to your home as such and working with your child. Now, last year, eligibility was expanded, which was really welcome. You know, it allowed all students in special schools and special classes and those with complex needs in mainstream schools to participate. So that was great. And so many parents welcome this, of course. But the parents that I've been speaking to specifically say that that extension, it has put pressure on the amount of tutors interested in working with their children with more complex needs. So the first parent we're going to hear from this morning is Miriam Jennings. And Miriam's a mother with twin 15-year-old boys. And here she talks a little bit more about the pressures in her situation.
I have two boys with autism and complex needs. They're twins and they both attend separate special schools. Both of the boys need full supervision at all times, mainly due to an acquired medical need they now have with epilepsy. Both would be eligible for the summer provision programme. I'm very thankful that one of my boys is getting access to that in school. My other son, unfortunately, isn't accessing any programme, so he's here with me at the moment.
What are the consequences for you for him not having the same access as his brother? You know, in terms of your family life, what does it mean?
Well, the system of having a home tutor is not going to work for my son. So he will be with me all of the time. To be honest, I'm very, very grateful that I have the window and the avenue to concentrate on him while his brother attends school as normal until approximately 3 o'clock. Because once both of the boys are back in the same arena here at home, my son, who is in school at the moment, his needs are much greater. So his twin brother, his needs come second and he will fade into the background. To be honest, it's very, very difficult to manage both of them on my own with my husband working. Seizures and what happens when either of them actually have a seizure and go to the ground while the other one doesn't understand the medical need, and trying to keep him safe, also relying on the community to help me all of the time. So it would be very, very difficult for me to have even these extra 3 weeks with both of the boys here with me.
Would your preference be, though, for him to be in a programme?
Oh, absolutely. He adores school. They're the only friends he has, including the staff who he loves. It's the only activity he has outside of the home. Plus, the nature of a special school, we're working on an awful lot of holistic programs to benefit him on his life skills. And while I will work with them there, it's a known fact, it's harder to get anything from him at home. So it would be wonderful if we'd had those additional weeks for him.
That's Miriam Jennings there. And the summer programme, it's a welcome addition for many students. Without it then, the parents say that the effects can be profound, Evelyn, and the children sometimes regress without the routine.
Yeah, I mean, parents acknowledge, you know, that they know it's hard to get teachers and SNAs during the school year anyway. So it's no surprise it's difficult to get tutors who will sign up to work with children over the summer. And the issue seems to be that schools can choose whether or not they sign up to this scheme, and it relies totally on schools and teachers and SNAs voluntarily signing up to it. Nobody's obliged to take part as such. And parents said to me, look, over and over again, they have fantastic relationships with the schools during the year, that many of them don't blame the schools at all. They know the schools struggle to get staff. But it seems to be a deeper problem than individual schools. It's more like a national problem, you know, a policy situation maybe. The phrases I heard over and over again were excluded, isolated, abandoned and invisible. Here's another parent, Claire, that I spoke to. This is Frieda McElhenney-Patterson. And here she describes the challenges in her home.
Well, for me as a parent, it should mean that my son, who has a diagnosis of autism and a moderate intellectual disability, has an extended school year, but he doesn't. The new summer programme, it's fantastic that it's been extended to include children with all sorts of needs, and I welcome that, but we seem to have been forgotten about and ignored.
Have you had a successful summer where you did get that, as we used to call it, July provision?
My son has recently moved to a special school, so this will be our first year that we won't have it, because the special school doesn't run the summer programme. And for my son, routine routine is really key. So when his routine breaks down, the knock-on effect is huge. So it's not necessarily that he needs to be in the class learning academic skills all year, it's the routine. And because he has an intellectual disability, he doesn't understand why all of a sudden he's not getting up in the morning and going out every day. And actually, when he gets up in the morning, his routine is he has a peep around the corner to where we leave his uniform out. So he's peeping around the corner. And he does that at the weekend as well, to be fair.
And it's not there.
But when that's consecutive days in a row, he'll start to wonder. But he can't even communicate that uncertainty to us. And that creates anxiety and uncertainty. And for him, it disrupts his sleep, his toilet skills regress, his self-injurious behaviour. So, you know, we're trying to keep him safe now all summer. I mean, it's socialising for him too. And he needs to be able to leave the house and do something independent of just inside the four walls of our house. The self-injuries kick in. And it's awful to watch him go through that anxiety.
And you're already beginning to see that.
I'm already beginning to see it. I've been awake since 4 this morning. Now, we're not going to re-establish the routine. So we'll probably have 3 or 4 nights of that this week. And he's quite loud when he wakes up as well. So it disrupts the whole house. I have another child at home with autism as well. She's up as well. So one wakes up, the other wakes up. And because he's so loud, the whole house is up basically.
So at the start of July, how do you feel as you look towards the rest of the summer?
I feel a bit desolate and I feel totally forgotten about. I always describe it as a bunker, but I feel like now we're going to try and survive the summer.
God, it's so tough, Evelyn, isn't it? Listening to what parents have to go through. Now, one of the advocacy groups involved has carried out research into the figures, and that makes for fairly sobering reading, doesn't it?
Yeah, Clara. Miriam Jennings, we heard from Miriam earlier. She's involved with the Special Schools and Classes group, and this is a national network of parents, and they're advocating for those children with complex needs. And they got figures through the FOI last year, which stated that in 2021, out of 126 special schools in this research, 39 took part, with 7 and just offering full access for that 4 weeks. So we worked out around 5% of that figure. This summer, they have started to carry out a survey based on parental input as such. It's too early, of course, to say for sure, but she does say that the trend looks similar. So here Miriam outlines that situation in more detail.
I would be the first to say that all children are equally important. However, I firmly believe also that children's needs are not all equal, especially in the special education sector. Children that we represent, they couldn't get access to the programme in their special schools because unfortunately schools, for a variety of reasons, couldn't run the programme. They couldn't get access to the home programme system. They just simply could not secure a tutor with their complex needs. It was just too much, and it was certainly too much for any stranger to take on. So these children are left at home for some 13 weeks. Many of these children, they're not even suitable for accessing the Special Olympics system, or there's no summer camp, any community activities that can provide a service for these children. They're left at home. Many we hear with siblings that take up that caring role to supplement the parents' role. There's a massive gap we identified. So we are campaigning hard for a change and a recognition of these children within government to recognise that these children are not accommodated in the summer provision programme. Their variety of needs needs a separate approach so that families can survive the summer.
It's just so hit and miss, Evelyn. That seems to be the problem. We're getting messages in on this morning. This listener says, I have to say many of the younger cohort of teachers earn far more money doing school summer camps than July provision. That pay arrives in November, whereas they get paid very quickly from the summer camps. That person says, I don't know what the answer is. Another one, my oldest daughter's special school used to do July provision for the full month, and since COVID they haven't started again and they won't in the future. And I know the Department of Education told you that they encourage schools to provide the programme. When it works out, it's a really valuable support. But the problem, of course, arises for families when they can't get access to it.
Exactly. The parents we're talking to there. I mean, the department are offering resources. They say they've taken steps to give schools as much flexibility as possible. But the issue in all the conversations I had kept coming back to the availability of schools and teachers and SNAs to participate in the scheme. And the parents that I spoke to, they believe that their children with those complex needs, that they should have an in-school place ring fenced as such. So if your school doesn't provide the programme, then Claire, you have to organise it yourself. And I've seen the ads online from families, and they're offering deals like free accommodation, flexible hours, and parents say to me that they are begging online basically for this help, not to mind the obvious concerns around relying on internet ads, you know, for your vulnerable child's welfare. Mm-hmm. So here about Barbara Dagmar, a mother in Galway, talks a little bit finally more about her situation.
So I'm a mom of this incredible kid. He's 12. His name is Leo. He has a rare disease called PMM2-CDG, which is 1,500 people in the world with it. He's a wheelchair user. the problem is very hard to access places, really, and to give him the chance to have his own social life, you know, outside home. He's an amazing kid, but on a practical point of view, because of pandemic and because this and because that, he hasn't received therapy in 2 years and is facing, again, isolation.
Your school doesn't offer it?
It doesn't offer, no. The problem this year was that they didn't have enough staff.
And the other option then is home provision, but I know there are challenges with that.
There are many challenges. Like, I'm still struggling to find a tutor for the full 40 hours. The problem is that when it comes down to social life, you know, to have a kid being without kids.
Which is the bit he really enjoys. His school is his world. It's his social life. It's everything.
Absolutely. But the reality for most kids with complex need is that the school is the only world outside their own home they experience. Let me add, a lot of parents are exhausted, find very hard to fight for everything. And this is another battle, you know what I mean, that we have to fight. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the energy to do it.
Another battle that they shouldn't have to fight. That's Barbara Dagmar talking to Evelyn there. Another message on this. On July provision, I've never been so disappointed as this year. So many families are completely unable to get a July provision home tutor. I've been able to access a home tutor for July provision for my son with ASD every year up until this year. There are far more children being allowed to access the provision than ever before. There are not enough home tutors to supply it. There's no point in opening access without ensuring there are enough home tutors available. My son is bitterly disappointed in not having his July provision because he has had it every other year since his diagnosis. Yet another failing for ASD students, not good enough. And that's what you found, just no access to tutors, whether you want to do it at home or whether the school wants to provide it in the school.
Yeah, when you read the ads, you really see it, you know, that people are going online posting, you know, this is the situation in our home, and the range of needs is incredible, and there are fewer and fewer people participating in it because they're not obliged to participate in it. So, you know, the range of ads are there, and it's just compelling when you read it. It's kind of heartbreaking.
Right, Evelyn, thank you very much for bringing that to us today. That's Evelyn O'Rourke.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.